The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Love that line. Normally, hey, good morning, Shasta County. It is September 24th. Normally, I come in with Billy Joel's My Life because I am Kevin Cry and this is my show. But I decided to come in with the song I normally go out to, Twisted Sister, We're Not Going to Take It Anymore. And I can't tell you enough about that line where it says, there's no way we're losing, because Shasta County, there's no way we're losing. There's no way we're losing this opportunity to get back to a true conservative Shasta Counties. Because buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, as the gloves are going to be coming off today. In my role as host, I do the best I can to separate Kevin Wayne Cry, graduate of Anderson High School, citizen, husband, father, coach, business owner, etc., and my role as supervisor. I try and separate those. I pay for this show out of my own pocket. I have no paid advertisers, just friends and people's businesses I want to plug because I get to do it because I pay the bill. And when we talk about Vista Real Estate or Mike Kruger with the weather, it's because those are friends of mine. And I want to highlight them. So I digress. So we're broadcasting live at KCNR 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, as well as streaming live on KCNR1460.com. And I just mentioned the weather, so I'll give you your weather update. This is brought to you by Weather NorCal, Mike Kruger. Mostly cloudy with a chance for a passing sprinkle or light shower today with highs in the mid-70s. The main event moves through on Monday with afternoon showers and highs once again in the mid-70s. It will also be on the windy side with south winds at 15 to 25 miles an hour. Mainly dry by Tuesday through the rest of the week with highs hovering right around 80 degrees, give or take. So that is your weather update from Weather NorCal, Mike Kruger. You can check him out at Weather NorCal on Instagram, Facebook, or on the World Wide Web. So like I said, this is going to be a little bit of a gloves coming off time because in my time as supervisor now of District 1 here in Shasta County, for those listeners that are not local, because I know we have many across the state and even other states. Mike, if you're listening, New Mexico again, love that. I love how you're fighting for what we believe as conservatives to be the most important thing, and you're spreading the news of what we're doing here in Shasta County. So as a supervisor, what I've realized is this city and this county, in the enormity of all the different entities that make up our great organization, I'm really starting to understand and see the divides of who really is out for themselves, who is posturing their friends into places, and who just at the end of the day just wants us to have a safe, clean, healthy environment here in Shasta County for our kids. So I'm going to give you a bunch of updates, and we're going to run through a lot. We have AB 969, Zog fired, COVID resolutions, Charter County information, City of Reading meeting, COC, continuum of care, at home, a bunch of stuff. So we're going to start with an AB 969 update. If you're not familiar with AB 969 and you've been following my show, you haven't paid close attention. That is the bill that has moved through the Assembly and the Senate and is now on the governor's desk. And very often I'm asked, hey, Kevin, where's that bill? It's been on the governor's desk. When's he going to sign it? So I want to give you a quick update as to just the process. So California's governor, our great dictator Newsom, he has three options when a legislature sends the bill to him. He can veto it. He can allow the bill to become law without a signature, or, of course, he can sign it. Article 9, Section 10A provides in part, each bill passed by the legislature shall be presented to the governor. It becomes a statute if it is signed by the governor. But what are the timing requirements for these actions? So the governor actually has 12 days to act on a bill sent to him from the legislature. And in that 12-day period, and that's once it's been presented to him, not the day that it passes the state or assembly, because there is a process and there is a time of the time it passes and when it gets to his desk. So after both houses passed the bill, But before it reaches the governor's desk, it must go through the engrossing and enrolling process. And in the history section of the bill, you can look for it. You can see when it's enrolled and when it's presented to the governor, et cetera. The thing for us right now, where this is, and then, of course, state amendments can come in that engrossing and enrolling period, and then it can drag it out. But as a result, that 12-day period begins the minute he gets it. And Sundays are not included. Therefore, if the bill 12 days conclude on a Sunday, then the governor has until Monday to sign or veto that bill. So in terms of signing the 12-day signing period, it's applicable to all bills that are presented to the governor 12 or more days prior to the date the legislature adjourns for a joint recess in the first year of a two-year session, as well as or on before August 20th of the second year of the session. So basically, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit and just give you the crib notes. Sorry, I had to get a drink of water. The governor right now has it on his desk, but what happens is because the bill came to him on September 14th, it gets into the possible winter recess component. So he's supposed to, we have a couple calls into him, and when I say we, I'm talking about Amy out of Nevada County or a couple other counties who have rallied around Shasta County to help with the process of AB 969, just in terms of getting a pulse on what other counties are feeling, and because they're down there by Sacramento, they're able to actually go. And I wouldn't necessarily say it like officially lobby people, but being down there on the steps, talking to different people, and obviously it didn't ultimately matter because the supermajority of California is Democrat anyway, so it passed. But what we're seeing right now is the governor hasn't signed it as fast as we thought he would. And inevitably, I think we all agree that's probably going to be signed. And even if it's not, it still goes in with the urgency statute. So where does that leave Shasta County? And we're going to talk about that at our board meeting this coming up week, because the fair and free elections, let's call it title or banner or mantra that has been around this board majority, which I would hope it would be everybody. When people say, oh, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors took away our right to vote, I mean, that's just ludicrous and that's insane. What we did is we talked about going to a hand count tabulation and getting rid of machines. Everybody could still vote. It's just how we count the votes. So I digress. So the city of Reading this week decided to send a letter. Now, I want to say this, and I'll be very, very, very clear on this. It was 3-2, three people, the Bethel Block, which is Winters, Audette, and Munns. They voted to send this letter. Vice Mayor Mazzano and Mayor DeQuisto did not sign it. Now, Vice Mayor Mazzano did help write the letter, because the last time he didn't write a letter, Councilwoman Audette put in the letter when it talked about supporting the tribe. She said, under unanimous approval, the city of Reading does such and such as it relates to the tribe. And that was completely false, completely a lie. The council was not absolutely unanimous on that, but that's what the letter was. So Mark Mazzano, Vice Mayor Mazzano, learned his lesson. He said, hey, I can write the letter. I'm not going to sign it, but I'm sure as heck not going to allow it to be written and put and have falsities in there. So he wrote the letter with, I believe, Councilwoman Winter, and they decided to, I mean, obviously the board votes or the council votes to send it to the Board of Supervisors. Mazzano won't sign it, either will DeQuisto, so they sign it. And what that resolution or what that letter, not resolution, but what that letter to the Board of Supervisors was is, hey, if the election costs are more than what we're currently paying, we want you to pay it, or we want you to come to the table and let's talk about that. And it's a complete waste of time. And there was actually some public comment around that, because at the end of the day, if the city of Reading doesn't like the way the county is doing that, they can run their own elections. There are other cities in California that run their own elections separate from the county. And the county will do it, has done it. And again, I'm speaking just as if you're a normal citizen and you're watching it, they have that right. Because one of the themes we're going to talk about is you can't pick and choose when you're working together and when you're not, in terms of the spirit of, hey, we want to collaborate, we want to work together. Because we're going to get into something here in a little bit about another item that was on the City of Reading's agenda, which is absolutely not working together. So anyway, AB 969 on the governor's desk, still hasn't signed it. Shasta County at this point, and as far as I'm concerned, will be hand counting ballots, because we don't have electronic tabulation capabilities, because we got rid of that. So AB 969 in some ways is irrelevant to Shasta County. So there's that update. Zog Fire. We sent that letter off to Attorney General Rob Bonta, and we are actually waiting for that response. Now, as you can imagine, Attorney General probably has as many as, I don't know, 25, 50, 200, 1,000, I don't know, how many interns or how many staff, paid staff. So that letter that we sent, and it wasn't just a letter, it was, you know, I don't know, 300 pages with all the citations and the court transcripts that we attached, so that way there'd be no problem of getting all the information they need. There's no way of telling, have they read it? Are they looking at it? So we had our clerk of the board reach out and say, have you received it? And then we couldn't ever get to somebody that actually would say, yes, that's my job. I do these intakes. I have it, and it's, you know, on the desk, or it's in a file, or it's in a waste paper basket, etc. So we then immediately overnighted a new one, and at the same time, we'll have the return receipt that's going to be needed for it. And in that same breath, we said, hey, what's an email address that we can send it to the right person right now? So we got that. We sent off an electronic copy. So now they, and they confirmed they have, they did get receipt of the electronic copy we sent. So they're still going to get another one. Now, what I'm going to do Wednesday, if I don't get an answer Monday, and I won't say by Tuesday, because Tuesday we have a board meeting, and by looks of the agenda, it's going to be a long one. So if you're going to come, bring an ice chest for the breaks, because you won't be going home for dinner probably. So with that, if I don't get the answer on Monday that it is being looked at by the appropriate person so we can get a response in a timely manner, I will be driving a copy down there on Wednesday, because I'm not going to go through the song and dance of doing this letter and then not actually having some type of actionable steps forward. And it's not like Bonta doesn't know what's going on, because I know he has to be very involved with this, because it relates to PG&E, and PG&E obviously is very, very close with Gavin Newsom. So I know they're looking at this. I know they're keeping a pulse on it. So I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we're going to get an answer. Whether he says, okay, I'm going to look into it further, or forget it, waste paper basket. And then that just helps our board understand what our next steps are. So that's where the Zog fire is right, at this point with that letter we sent. Now, I also know that I've heard a lot of IGO residents, and I know we've received these emails. I believe the whole entire board has received some of these emails, but they're asking us, a couple people anyway, have been asking us to halt the disbursement of the $50 million. And that's not something that the Board of Supervisors necessarily can do. That would have to be maybe taken up by the county treasurer or the DA, but I believe, from what I understand, some people are going to be coming in public comment and requesting that to halt it because of the restitution, what that means, where that money goes. And people are becoming a lot more savvy and a lot more smart, or a lot smarter about what truly is going on here. And I think it's important that the community of IGO and ONO come to the board meetings and share their experiences and share their, not just opinions, but share facts of what's legal precedents as you look at the Dixie Fire and others and money distributed. So, yeah, make your voices heard and definitely be there. So this, and we'll stay on the topic of this coming board meeting on Tuesday. One of the items we have is something that I sponsored. It's our COVID response resolution. And this is the cool thing about it. Well, there's many cool things about it, but in October of 21, which is October 19th of 2021, when I came to my first board meeting, it was because it was the day after the school walkout, and I had heard that there was a resolution where Shasta County was maybe going to ban with San Joaquin County, and the chair at that time, Tom Patty, and which is really cool. I got a chance to meet Tom Patty at a CSAC event earlier this year, so that was kind of a full circle thing. And I'll explain why. Is when October 19th of 21, that resolution was voted down. And what perplexed me was, why would Shasta County, who are a people of fighters, who band together, who have each other's back, why wouldn't we go join San Joaquin County with their resolution to push back on COVID-19 restrictions, lockdowns, and everything else? And it was very symbolic, and it could be very symbolic. But the reality is I could not understand why we wouldn't support another county going to do this. And so it failed. And I went up and spoke in public comment, was up there a little over 7 minutes, like 7.5 minutes. And what's interesting about that is, as a supervisor now, I know, I mean, we've never really had anybody up there for that long, maybe but once or twice. And so I know how rare that is. But I was so dissatisfied with that answer, I decided to run. And now, 2 years later, I'm bringing a resolution that will be adopted by this board, I believe. And it should be adopted 5-0. We'll see. But also, there's other counties that once ours goes through, they're going to be putting it on their agendas to join Shasta County in sending the letter. Because what we're seeing right now is if you've been to a Starbucks or a McDonald's, they're starting to make their employees mask. And I've had a lot of employees from the county now say, hey, are we going to have to test? Are we going to have to mask? Are you guys going to bring vaccines up again where that may be a thing? And as far as I'm concerned, no way. Personal liberty, I have nothing against. If you want to mask, if you want to get multiple vaccines and boosters, you can put them, like right between your eyes if you want and inject the booster. Great. Do that. That's up to you. But from a personal liberty standpoint, Shasta County will take the stance that we will not even, I don't even want to make people test. If you're not sick, why would you test? And, you know, it's crazy to me. So we're going to bring that resolution forward, and I'm excited about that because that really is what our republic should be built upon. Myself as a citizen did not like an answer I received. I ran a campaign. I won. I'm here. I'll bring it forth myself. So it's kind of like, hey, if you're not going to do it, get out of the way. I'll do it myself. And that's what makes Shasta County special. I think there's a lot of people like me that have been standing up in the last 2 years, 2 to 3 years since COVID, and I think our eyes are just becoming more and more open to the things that are happening in our schools and on our councils and in our board chambers. And I'll have a lot, I have a lot more to go into about eyes being wide open that I want to share with you as it relates to what's going on in the leadership among the city of Reading and what's happening in this collaborative effort that we called LIFE. Okay, so we're going to go to a quick break. We're not going to take many breaks, but we're going to take one here shortly. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
All right, we are back. KCNR1460.com, where you can listen streaming live if you'd like, as well as on 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. We're back. We're going to stay on the local feel of what we have right now. So we just talked about the COVID resolution. That's going to be on the agenda this week, or that is on the agenda this week. You could look it up on the county's website. And then also we have a presentation from CSAC, which is about charter counties. Now, charter counties is another thing that I'm sponsoring. And bottom line is this. Some people have said, hey, Kevin, like, what exactly is a charter county? So you have two types of counties. You have general law counties, and you have charter counties. And what's really interesting is your biggest players oftentimes in the state, L.A., San Diego, Orange County, et cetera, San Francisco, they're charter counties. So when the governor does stuff, they have a lot more local control. So they're just like, okay, governor, you can do that. That's great. We got to follow X, Y, and Z, but we're a charter county. We can still, you know, it's the tail wagging the dog, so to speak, because the enormity of the state is made up by the bigger cities, and the bigger cities actually, because they're charters, they get to play by a little bit different rules. Well, Tehama, right next to us, you know, Little Red Bluff, they're actually a charter county as well. So it's very interesting to see the dynamic. And I believe there's 14 charter counties in the state. But this is what it boils down to. Charter counties have more local control. Point blank, end of story, drop the mic, turn off the lights, tip your waiter on the way out. Local control. We have to have as much local control as a county as we can. What I've learned in 9 months, and as well as many of you that have been paying attention and in this for years, and when I say in this, I mean going much, much deeper than just watching the 5 o'clock news or maybe getting record searchlight, getting that. I mean, people that have gone way deeper understand what the state's done for a lot of years. So this charter county that we'll move towards, we have a presentation. But it's going to be a chance for the public to get a really good opportunity to learn the differences. And I think that's what's important as a supervisor, you know, from the board, from the county seat, meaning the county seat, meaning just all five individuals up there, that we provide the public an opportunity to get this presentation and bring your questions. And one thing I'll tell you, I know the city of Reading years and years ago tried to do a charter county, and actually I haven't even talked to many people much about that, but one thing I believe to be true, and I haven't checked into this because it's the past and I really don't want to go that far back because I know what I would like to do, but they tried to kind of create their own charter, if I believe. One of the easiest and most effective path of least resistant ways to become a charter county is you adopt another county's charter. And so I've looked at a bunch of different charters, and I'll tell you, I like San Bernardino's right now. And so if you want to look up what San Bernardino's charter county does and what they allow for, and you can always make amendments and you can do different things, but I like that one. And I've been talking a lot with Supervisor Magsig, Nathan Magsig out of Fresno County. He's in his second term. He is a staunch, staunch Republican. When he went to CSAC, his very first term, he sat on some different boards, and he sits on boards at NACO, which is the National Association of Counties, which is like that's the United States version of CSAC. So CSAC is just California. NACO is for the nation, and he sits on a board there. But they basically sat him down and said, okay, listen up, Junior, this is how we do things here. He just kind of chuckled and said, well, you're talking to the wrong guy because I'm my own voice. I'm going to do what I think's in the best of my county. So, you know, president of Charter County. So for us with this Charter County, it will go on a ballot. Now, that's assuming the board decides to actually move it forward. Man, I'm sorry. I had to get another drink of water. So the board will vote, okay, and this will go on a ballot. Much like Supervisor Kellstrom, one of the things that he ran on was he ran on term limits. So that's going to go to the voters. And again, that's what our board majority is constantly, constantly, constantly about, is let it go to the voters. Let it go to the voters. Did I say let it go to the voters? It's up to the people to decide. Now, voters have to get educated, so you can believe money will come from multiple sides who maybe don't want a charter county, and we'll unpack that of the groups who don't want there to be a charter county. And again, there's, you know, two things I've really, really learned in politics. One is no new friends. So, you know, it's really important that the people you went into office with are still your close compatriots, and because a lot of people come around who have nefarious beliefs, ideas, and they try and infiltrate stuff, and you see that play out on a national level with Trump or any executive officer or any candidate or politician, etc. But the other is follow the money, and you can start to see people's motivation very, very quickly when people's money might get touched. So anyway, Charter County presentation this Tuesday. Bring your questions for public comment and get involved. Understand it, because it will go on the ballot, I believe, in March. And as we talk about the ballot in March, I'll give a quick update as to the recall signatures that were turned in. Who knows? Like, I don't even give it much thought. It's actually not even written on my piece of paper here for the notes of what I want to talk about. But I did talk to the clerk's office last week just for a timeline. There's a chance that we would have an answer possibly by Friday. They have 30 days, so it may take the entire 30 days, or it may just they may have an answer if they have the necessary ones or not. But here's the great thing: it will be the people's voice. And if it goes forward, great. It'll be on a ballot. And what that ballot will signify in March when it comes to my recall, if they get the signatures, it's do you want local control? Local control with the charter. That means Shasta County gets to chart the path for Shasta County. The supervisors, the other elected officials, we want local control. We want the supermajority of the Democrat Party in Sacramento and throughout the state out of Shasta County. So that's one component. And the other would be the yes or no of my recall. And if you want to support my recall, if it was on a ballot, then that, I think that goes lockstep, because that means you'll probably vote no on the charter as well, because you think Gavin Newsom is doing a phenomenal job. So anyway, that we'll find out about later this week. So the next item here is I had a business owners forum a couple weeks ago at the Red Line. I did it in conjunction with Jason Miller from Lucky Miller's Deli. And we're going to have our next one on October 4th. I had mentioned online it was going to be the 4th or the 5th. It will be, in fact, on October 4th. We're still setting a location. So that's one of the things I'm going to really try and get done by Tuesday. And the theme, or I won't even say the theme, but really the deliverable, what you'd walk away with from this meeting on October 4th, is I'm bringing together two or three different groups who have organized community watches. I don't want to say neighborhood watch, because that's more of a residential thing, but bringing people who have organized small groups of businesses to look out for one another and create different processes. And I'm trying to get local law enforcement to attend in some various capacities, just because I want businesses to hear it from, I don't want to say the horse's mouth. I'm not calling anybody a horse, because I don't want to be sensitive to the horses or the law enforcement community, but I want people to hear what you legally can do to defend your business that feeds your family and quite possibly many, many, many other employees' families as well. So I want to have that discussion so businesses could come and learn what their legal rights are. And again, there are security companies you can hire, but our economy is not getting any easier. Our state is not getting any easier on California or Shasta County businesses. So spending more money to protect what you already have becomes increasingly difficult. So for people that can afford extra security around the clock, great. But for those that can't, we're going to try and bring some, or we're going to bring some options forward. And so that meeting will be on October 4th. So that's going to conclude the whole race through all these items I wanted to bring up. This last half of the show, give or take, is going to be around homelessness, mental health, drug abuse, crime, and how that relates to two things. One, we have an ad hoc committee created, and this is something that came out of CSAC, and it's being driven by the largest cities in the state: California, LA, Sacramento, San Francisco, San Diego. And what they're doing is they've encouraged all the local leaders, elected leaders, to have two representatives. Because of the Brown Act, you can't have three. So you send two individuals to this committee so they can sit together and try and collaborate, or not try, so they can collaborate, as well as the city managers. And we don't have a city manager, obviously, at the county. We have a CEO, Dave Rickert, who's doing a phenomenal job. So what we have in this at-home committee is we have two individuals from Shasta Lake City. We have two individuals from the city of Anderson. We have two individuals from the city of Redding. And then we have two of us, Chairman Jones from the Board of Supervisors and myself. And then you have Jessica Lugo from the city of Shasta Lake as a city manager. You had Jeff Kieser. He retired, so now it's the chief of police. So he's the interim city manager right now, so Paletsky. And then you have Barry Tippin from the city of Reading. And then, of course, like I mentioned, you have CEO Dave Rickert as well. So we get together, and we've had, I think, about six meetings. And what we're talking about is, as funding comes in, who's doing what, where's the best place to double down and say that these individuals are doing great work, let's figure out how to get them more money, or where are some gaps in services in terms of coordinated entry or housing or all of this. And, you know, I absolutely hate meetings to have meetings. So this last meeting, what was proposed, it was proposed a couple meetings ago that we were going to have, I'm laughing, but it just is mind blowing. It's mind blowing to me. So the group decided we were going to have subcommittees of the committee, and I'm just adamantly against it. Adamantly against doing more committees. I said, hey, look, we've got the electeds all here. Let's just make these decisions ourselves. And what I find very often is a lot of politicians, they want to be able to play that fence. So if it goes really well, they can take some credit for it. And if it doesn't go well, then they can say, well, I wasn't completely on board with that. So that's what they do. They play this fence. And I would rather just go all in and say, look, this is the idea I have. This is what I want to do. And guess what? If it goes well, I don't even care about the credit. I just want it to be intentional and mission focused and outcome driven. That's what I want. And if it goes great, fine. Credit. I don't care. I just want the outcome. And if it doesn't go well, I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, yeah, that didn't work. And that was bad. And I think that's what leadership truly looks like. So on this committee, or on this meeting that we just had this last week, we had, I think, five or six committees that we were going to have. One was going to be case management. There was going to be law enforcement. There was going to be outreach. And I just said, I don't want to be on any of these things. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous that we actually have to break into a bunch of subcommittees to get some information back. So different elected officials, and again, maybe all the elected officials feel the same way. I was just really outspoken. And then there was one official that did speak up initially, which was Tanessa Audette. And, of course, I vehemently disagree with most of her ways of getting places. She's been in government working for the Dollies for years, which, by the way, I find it interesting that they're not even endorsing her for assembly, but she's worked for them for 8 years. I found that puzzling. But anyway, so she says, well, I need to get more information. I'm like, well, what have we been doing for like the last 3 or 4 months? What have we been doing? Gather the information. So they decide to say, okay, you're going to be on this one, you're going to be on that one. Everybody volunteers for different ones. And I wasn't on any of them. And I look at Laura Birch, who's our HHSA director. If you know what HHSA is, it's Health and Human Services. So I asked Laura, I said, do you want me to be on one of these? Like, because I said, I don't want to go to more meetings. I think it's ridiculous. I already know what I think we need. And she goes, well, outreach only has Katie from the Rancheria. And again, she's one of the local community individuals on it. And I think it's great because obviously Reading Rancheria just isn't a clinic. It's not a nonprofit. It's not a, it's not just this feel good business. I mean, they are a government. Reading Rancheria is a government. So she's there as well. And so she's on the outreach committee. So, and Laura said, hey, Kevin, you've been more involved with outreach than any of these elected officials, probably combining them all because of the work that Vice Mayor Mazzano and I had been doing in Martin Luther King Park for 14 months. And I stopped going a couple months ago. But, again, I'd been very involved in outreach. So I said, okay, I'll jump on that one. And then Tina from Shasta Lake, awesome lady. And she very, very rarely speaks, but she says, I'd like to say something. And she said, I haven't said anything this entire time I've been listening to the dialogue. And she said, I think it's ridiculous as well that we're going to break into more committees. She said, we've had all these meetings. There's no forward movement. So I said, hey, jump on the outreach one with me because I think, I like that. I like someone that wants to get things moving forward. So it's her, I, and Katie. And then, and this is the best part, then we say, okay, who's going to set the meetings up? And I'm thinking, okay, there's elected officials on each of these subcommittees. Why does anybody have to set that up? Don't we all have cell phones, computers, Pony Express, Morse code? Can't the elected officials do that themselves? But no. They want to have Barry Tippin, city manager of Reading, send out calendar invites and organize it so everybody can attend who wants to attend, because that's what politicians do. They like to cut the ribbons and they like to attend meetings. And so everybody votes, and the outreach group says, I say, absolutely not. We'll do our own. So listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. This last week, our committee has already had its first meeting. Oh, I'm sorry. I digress. Let me back up a little bit. And with these subcommittees, I had said very loudly, I said, well, what's our turnaround time? Like 6 months? I said, can it be 2 weeks? Can we have this done in the next 2 weeks? And everybody chuckled. And, of course, one city councilwoman rolls her eyes because that's what she does. She rolls her eyes. And we decide, okay, 30 days. 30 days is what it's going to be. And I say, okay, well, that's not happening. So they decide they're going to have 30 days to get all that stuff done. We've already had our first meeting. At our first meeting, we had the CERT team, which is the critical response team out of the city of Reading. We had three individuals from that. We had the Hope Van. Dr. Patton and his staff were there, as well as another county employee. We had the Reading Rancheria in attendance. We had two community volunteers who run really large outreach efforts, and then myself and Tina from the city of Shasta Lake. In that meeting, Dr. Patton said, as we talk about outreach and what was really needed, he said, here's the things, and this is what we got out of this group. We got, and this is what coming from him, and he is the medical director of the Hope Van. He's a physician, goes out in the field, treats. I mean, he's seen some crazy, crazy wounds, illnesses, sicknesses, not just the physical, but the mental side as well. So he said, here's what we need. We need to have where people can go get showers, where it's not having to call the YMCA or call this organization or call that organization to see if there's a chance to bring someone over for a shower. We need like 24-hour, we need access to showers. We need to be able to de-lice the individuals. We need to be able to wash their clothes. So, again, those three things, that's a humanity thing, and I think that is obviously needed just in general. But what he's saying is, hey, I need to clean them up before I can get them into treatment, get them into their next place. The other thing is they need to be able, because of pets, a lot of them have service animals or they have companion animals. And if they're out there on the streets and they have this animal, I mean, it means just as much to them as a brother or a family member. I mean, to them, they are the family. So he needs a place for those pets to be held while they're being helped in treatment or processed, whatever, so that way they know they can come back to their pet. And then the other thing is a place to get their mail, like a continuous place, like a one-stop shop. And I know we've talked about the navigation center with Sheriff Johnson's thing, but we're talking that's 5-10 years down the road. So we have this list Dr. Patton gets out. Okay, great. We have all this. And then there was a couple other things as well is about, hey, the mission does some great work. It's only 30 days. It would be great if that could be extended where people – right when they're and that's a city code thing where they could stay a little longer if they needed to get into other housing. Perfect. So we take all these notes. Tina and I get all this stuff done. And we get to work. We get to work. We divide and conquer. We split stuff up. So now we make some phone calls. We have a meeting tomorrow on Monday. And we've got an organization or two that are going to split everything that Dr. Patton has been talking about for, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. And our little group is going to make that happen. Now, keep in mind, this is what fires me up, okay? The at-home group, led by Barry Tippin, the city of Reading, and the other elected officials, and I'm not trying to throw people under the bus, but I'm basically saying, when I mentioned at the beginning of the show about taking the gloves off, it's like accountability's got to come. People have to know what people are doing. And so they haven't even sent out the calendar invite of who's available on what days for their first meeting. So within 2 weeks, our outreach group, Tina, myself, and Katie from the Rancheria, are going to have everything we need to come back to that group. And mark my words, we're going to come back to the next at-home meeting in the next week, week and a half, 2 weeks. And most of those groups won't even have had their first meeting yet. And that is the problem. The problem is do-nothing people that want to constantly push it out, say, I got to gather more information. Sometimes you just have to do the work. You may have to work 18 hours. You may work 3 straight days, and you're talking 54 hours, whatever it is. Whatever it is, or 72 hours. I know 54 isn't 3 days. But you got to get things done because people are on the streets, and it's inhumane. And so my point with this is, this at-home meeting, ad hoc committee, I think this is Shasta County or Reading or Shasta Lake or Anderson's really last chance at doing this in quite some time because accountability needs to come and people need to know where the gaps are and why things aren't happening. So I'm going to have a lot to say about that on Tuesday. We're going to take our last break and then we're going to finish up with the COC, which is the continuum of care, and what happened at the city of Reading this last week. So we'll be right back.
Come join Reading Electric Utility in celebrating Public Power Week on Friday, October 6th. This year's free family event will be held in downtown Reading on the Market Street block. There will be electric safety demonstrations, police and fire demonstrations, and free treats. This event will include energy-efficient raffle prizes, including a new e-bike. Come join the celebration on Friday, October 6th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. For more information, call 530-339-7300 or visit our Facebook page at Reading Electric Utility.
the elders of our community, men and women who've led commendable lives. After working hard, raising families, serving their communities, and some serving our country, many find their safety and well-being is at risk. They risk losing their health, independence, and becoming vulnerable to many forms of abuse. The good news is we can all make a difference. Shining Care presents Lunch and Learn, September 25th in Reading and 26th in Anderson. Enjoy a complimentary lunch while you learn from the experts. Hear about and participate in the planning for California's Master Plan for Aging, Long-Term Care Planning. Get education on Medicare fraud through Senior Medicare Patrol. And hear the pros and cons about choosing your Medicare Advantage plan. It's Shining Care in partnership with Disability Action Center, PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, Life on Medicare, Sherry Duff, and PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, HICAP. Free registration is at shiningcare.org/events or call 530-232-5543.
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for the town he shined in light, but you could always find him standing up what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
That's right. You absolutely have to stand for something. And I think the people listening, especially those here in Shasta County, or actually anywhere, you need to keep your elected officials accountable. Keep them accountable for standing for something and say, look, I don't care if you're going to stand here or you're going to stand there. And for those obviously that can't see, which is nobody can see me but Liam, I am pointing to the far left and I'm pointing to the far right. And I'm not saying that from a political left and right. I'm saying people have to stand for something. We have to start standing up for our beliefs, and the electorate, the voters, the individuals in the communities that we all live in need to know exactly where people stand so they know what they're getting when they cast that vote. Because I know there's a lot of people that are really, really disheartened based on it. I'm gonna unpack some of this stuff right now about the city of Reading and some of the votes they cast. And again, I don't want to make any of this stuff personal, but it's very personal to me because I spend, like many other elected officials, a lot of time, as we should. That's what we signed up for. But one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to waste time. I don't want to spend time. I want to invest it. And the time I invest, I want it to come back tenfold to make people's lives better. And again, that's a cleaner, safer, more affordable Shasta County. Okay, so we're going to get into what's called the continuum of care. And that's been something that has been covered a little bit, very surfacey, but it has very major implications of what's happening right now as we talk about at home and the collaboration of counties or the county and cities. So Shasta County has been the lead agency for the 7-county NorCal continuum of care for 7 years. 7 years. Each county's signed a participation agreement with Shasta County to support the cost to administer and operate the large 7-county continuum. So you say, well, what does the county do? Like, what are the duties for that? So here is what the duties that we've done. And I'm going to rip through this because this really could be an hour, 2 hour long show, just this one component. But I want to give people just a heads up, a taste of what's going on. So here are the duties. The HMIS, and what HMIS stands for is the Homeless Management Information System, where it's like the coordinated entry efforts, application responsibilities, et cetera, for people entering in. So the Shasta County Housing and Community Action Agency, the SCCAA, presently serves as the HMIS lead agency for the NorCal Continuum of Care and all of the Homeless Management Information System projects, managing and administrating all the operations and activities. These responsibilities are contingent on receipt of the appropriate funding from the COC and partner agencies. So here's what the county's been doing. They've been responsible for oversight, project direction, formalizing policy setting and guidance for the HMIS project. They convene the meetings with the state and HMIS and the committee every quarter or more. So sometimes it's multiple times a year, not just quarterly. Develop and maintain all the operational agreements, policies and procedures, the privacy, the security plan, the data quality plan, written privacy notice. They regularly evaluate the HMIS features, the functionality, and the data points, and address any issues that has major implications for HMIS. They ensure all the client and homeless program data collected is in adherence to the HUD or HMIS data standards. They prepare and submit all the quarterly and annual reports required by HUD. They serve as the liaison with HUD regarding HUD and HMIS grants. They provide all the HMIS administrator for the operation of the HMIS, who provides guidance and oversight of it to the related user and agency compliance monitoring. They review quality of data entered by the agency partners into service points. They manage all the agency contracts for all the licensed users across all seven counties. They obtain signed partner agency agreements and user agreements. They have they provide training for the HMIS users and provide guidance needed to ensure appropriate system use, data entry, data reporting, and data security and confidentiality as it pertains to the MIHS policies and procedures. And I know if your eyes aren't rolling in the back of your head now trying to keep up with all this, just wait, because I'm going to skip forward just a couple more pages, and I'm going to skip those. You can hear them rustling. There they are. And I'm not going to read all of those, but then they obtain and maintain contract with the selected software vendor. They oversee changes to the MIHS software through coordination with the software provider. So think about when your phone has an update, and you've got to, you know, set it the night before, and you got to hit yes, or, you know, it'll update it this time in the night, and your phone's got to be plugged in. You go through all that. Now think about doing that for seven counties and all the different software vendors across the continuum of care. So the county has done all of that. All of it for 7 years. And it is not on us to have to do it. We're the only one of its type, essentially, in the state that kind of did it this way because the county stepped up. And I wasn't part of that. That was, you know, 7 years ago is when they leaned in. I mean, this was way back. So in June, HHSA, Human Health and Services, exercised its contractual right to terminate the agreement with the six other counties in the city of Reading due to the fact that Shasta County's been subsidizing the continuum above and beyond contributions from the other counties, city, and beneficiaries of millions of dollars that have passed through Shasta County that was contractually provided to all of them. I mean, $400,000. I mean, to the tune of $400,000, Shasta County each year has been subsidizing this. So when I first, I mean, you know what? And here's the crazy thing is, you know what we're provided to do that work? $48,000 towards these costs by the contractual agreement. Other funding was held back by the county from the administration portion of some grants. Otherwise, the cost would have been even higher. I mean, the county has used its own staffing resources to ensure operation of the COC. That includes, like, attorneys. So when our county council has to look at something or review something, or there's a question, or there's a lawsuit, like one of the counties right now is suing the Shasta County because we're the lead agency, not because we've done anything. There's just a funding dispute from a nonprofit in another county. So a nonprofit in another county is upset about their funding because they messed up. And because we're the lead agency, you know, it travels downhill essentially. So, Laura Birch, and once I started to ask some of these questions, says, this doesn't even make any sense. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? I mean, if it's costing us this much money and if we were subsidizing Bella Vista, we were subsidizing, you know, the Buckeye District off of Lake Boulevard in the Great District, in the First District, okay. If we're, you know, subsidizing Fall River, Cottonwood, okay. You could start to make a case for that. But we are subsidizing other counties' programs. That is insane. And this is what I'm talking about when we talk about local control. Shasta County has to take care of Shasta County first. So under this arrangement, the county was responsible for the HMIS, which is homeless management information, the coordinated entry efforts, which is the application responsibilities for applying for homeless funding, monitoring the performance of the contracts, et cetera. All of this took a lot of resources and a lot of time. Needless to say, in any shape of the imagination, in any universe you would live in, this was a sweet deal for everybody else involved, except the county. The county got the short end of it. And to make matters worse and to add insult to injury, right? I mean, what's the biggest slap in the face is the way some of the continuum of care members treated the county and treated the staff at HHSA. And I know this firsthand because I've gone to a few of these recently. And I'll tell you, because when you talk about the number of boards and meetings, you have to go really, really deep in some. Obviously, I've spent a lot of time with AB 969, which is about local control, or you talk about Zog Fire. So with HHSA, I started getting involved because of the At-Home Project. And again, the At-Home Project, remember, I'm going to bring this back, was all about collaboration and working together. Well, here is one of the craziest things, and I have a ton here. And like I said, I was going to go through the actual step-by-step of what's happened. But here is the part that I'm going to just start summing this up to, because I can see that we're going to run out of time if I'm not careful. So City of Reading voted this last week to be the lead agency, or they're going to be the administrative entity. And here's the thing. When you have a gentleman's agreement with somebody or an entity, and you're talking about working in good faith, like the county, even though they only have to give 30 days, they gave them 60 days. They gave them twice as much time. And keep in mind, we did it for 7 years. So we're still doing stuff, and it's on the county's liability. Like, we're still liable for stuff because we're leaning in to make sure that there's no lapse of services, or the other counties and people in Shasta County, which is most important to me, don't lose services or funding. So we've just focused on that, and we keep going. Well, here's what the City of Reading did. The City of Reading, and there's something called HAP funds, which I won't even try and unpack that in 3 minutes, but HAP funds are something that the county or the state gives down. So the City of Reading went in, and they're trying to take our county funding for housing that is the county's. It's not part of the COC. And what's really, really disturbing about it is this whole time we're thinking the City of Reading is working with us. They're going to step up and take it because we've taken it for 7 years, and they're agreeing to take it for two. And you see Councilwoman Winters bringing up some concerns, and so does DeQuisto. And here's what I'll tell you. I know Mayor DeQuisto would never go for this, because when he listens to this radio show and we talk later today, because he'll hear it because I'm going to send it to him, he's going to realize this is another land deal that Barry Tippin and the people at the city are trying to pull off, pulling the wool over people's eyes. And I just said it. There's the gloves, because here's what it is. HAP has two parts of the funding, the COC money, continuum of care, and the second part is the county funding. The City of Reading is trying to take Shasta County's HAP funding, which is to the tune of about $2 million. $1 million or $1.1 they can't touch. There's no way, because that's ours. That has to come back from the board, and we would actually have to sign for that. But HAP 4, which is about $900,000, close to $1 million, they may have a shot of. And here's what's super disturbing, is the council voted on that, but that's just because it wasn't explained to them, because we rely on our staff very, very much as elected officials, because they're in the trenches. They're doing it every day. But what is happening right now is the City of Reading says, hey, we are on your team. We're going to work with you. And then this go, and if let's just say Laura Birch, our HHSA director, walked away and says, I'm just not going to do this. She just retires. And then nobody catches this. The City of Reading would essentially steal that money from the county. In no way, shape, or form is the county ever on board losing that funding that we control. The COC portion, correct. You can take that. That's fine. That's yours. But what's the county's allocation will stay the county's allocation. But because City of Reading is becoming the administrative entity, they're trying to take that money. And then the COC meeting, the executive board met this week. Myself, and when I found out what the City of Reading was doing, because Laura Birch had to call me and say, hey, this is what's going on, and this is really, really, and I just said, dirty. This is nefarious. It's dirty. So we went down there. We had Chair Jones there. We were supposed to have one of our county councils there, but I had like an hour's notice about this. So we went down to the meeting, and we started asking questions of City of Reading staff and then the COC director, who actually is Christian Schrader. You're supposed to have a financial stake as being in this group, as one of the executive boards. But she swooped in and became the chair because, again, when people are assuming everybody's at the table to do the right thing and to really just lean in and there to make a difference. I mean, not everybody's going to vet every single person. That's why every single board that I – or every single opportunity I have to appoint, and I don't care if it's for the Lincoln Logs travel group of Mississippi that comes through Shasta County, and I get to put somebody on that board, I'm going to vet it, because that person that goes on that is going to speak for Shasta County. So Kristen Schrader is sitting on that, and she knows well and good what she was doing. So I don't know if it's Barry Tippin at the city or if it's Kristen Schrader, but they just tried to steal the money from the county in the sense that there was zero collaboration. So if we're going to actually truly collaborate as elected officials, the first thing you don't do is try and do things underhanded and take things away. It makes me sick to my stomach. And I'll tell you, I want people to follow this because it is going to be a very, very loud topic for me with the COC, the City of Reading, the Continuum of Care, because ultimately it comes down to people getting services and getting off the streets. And when people play politics with people's lives, quite honestly, it pisses me off. Okay, that is my rant. I am fired up. Shasta County, you have a great week. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.